here.
I don't make anybody happy.
John DePietro on 1540 WABK.
Mr. DePietro, who is in the eye of the storm.
Suddenly, John DePietro became the story.
Radio talk show host John DePietro.
Is Providence crime town?
Most definitely.
Well, good afternoon, one and all. It is John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. Here I am, folks. Afternoons 1 to 5, right-hand side of the dial. It's AM 1540, and it's WADK. You can listen online at WADK.com. You can also log on at DePietro.com. On the right-hand side, just click the Listen Live button. Boom, there it is. TuneIn radio app, simple radio app, free. Alexa, free, as a matter of fact. All right, let's talk some Rhode Island politics. Joining us right now, as I mentioned, he is the managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. It's our friend Justin Katz. Good afternoon, Justin.
Good afternoon, John.
Hey, Justin, just as a point of reference, are your have your children returned now to school? Are your kids back in school now?
We're split. We've got three different entry days, so it's like a juggling week.
Really? Three different entry days? Okay.
Yeah.
Just because East Greenwich went back today, and I think North Kingstown, I'm not sure about Providence. NK is the only one that has not. They go back after Labor Day. I still think that, you know, that it should be an after Labor Day thing. It was just better for the economy and so forth. But so you're split. Some are back, some are not back. URI goes back after Labor Day. Rhode Island College, they went back on Monday, from what I understand, which seems pretty early. And then the Southern schools, obviously, they've been back in school for almost 2 or 3 weeks. Hey, Justin, I want to start off with, you know, I spoke with Professor Ed Mazey yesterday, former dean of the URI Business School, and we were talking about the Pawsox Stadium, and he was saying that to him, and I'm not speaking for him, but we just had a general discussion. He said, boy, this thing is starting to feel like it's already like a little bit of a done deal. You know, they're rolling out. In fact, that they're going to take this roadshow, road tour, making the rounds, talking to people. We want to hear their concerns. It can't go any worse than it went, 2 years ago when it was basically a disaster, and then they stopped making the rounds on it. But I'm seeing now in this morning's Providence Journal, Raimondo remains supportive of the stadium plan. They're even the Senate is even announcing that they even think they're going to be able to vote on it, possibly at a November special session to vote on the public financing package. So they are going to be coming back in. This is definitely on the agenda. The numbers basically remain the same. Now they're going to start this PR effort to go around. At one point, 2 years ago, remember, it was going to be where they were going to hit every 39 city and town. Now, instead, there's six different sites. I'd love your thoughts, the latest now, on this Pawsox Stadium that certainly is at least moving up to Smith Hill starting in September.
Well, it's the promotion tour that strikes me most. I mean, they're selling it as hearings to get feedback from the public, which they never do. So it makes you wonder if this is what makes this deal so special. I mean, a few years ago, the General Assembly redefined the definition of marriage, and they didn't do a tour going around the state to get opinions on this. They
Good
stayed
point.
At the State House.
That's right.
If you wanted to comment on it. But here we've got a stadium, which is supposedly no big financial deal, and yet they're doing this tour. The Senate has set up a promotional website for this thing. Clearly it's not a hearing format. In fact, William Connolly, the Senate Finance Chairman, has said, even if everybody comes out and it says they're against it, our goal is to make sure it's a financially good deal. In other words, we don't really care what you say, assuming you oppose it. So, yeah, it's having that done deal kind of feel, which is a shame because that never works out well.
It does not, and it's interesting that you mentioned William Connolly, the senator from East Providence, that he has a piece. He's the Democrat state senator from East Providence District, includes Pawtucket, but he has a piece in this morning's Providence Journal, Pawsox Hearings Give Citizens a Say. You know, Justin, you're exactly right. For all this business of, you know, it's going to be televised and it's the chance for everyone to have their voices heard, they don't talk about a vote. They don't talk about putting it to a vote. They talk about, to me, it sounds like a kangaroo court, that no matter how bad the deal is and no matter how much the public is against it, it's going to be the emperor has no clothes, that they're all just going to continue to insist that it's a great deal and that people are in favor of this.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's increasingly clear that that's the plan. If if, as you say, if they were seriously interested in finding out what Rhode Islanders want, they would be talking about putting it on a ballot for a vote. But they don't want to do that because they're worried it won't go the way they want. And so they're going to do the show. They got the website. They're going to go out, promote it, and probably bring in some activists and advocates who are on a payroll by somebody to come in and say, oh, this is going to be a great deal for Rhode Islanders. The reality is most Rhode Islanders won't pay attention, but at least then they can say, well, we went around the state and we didn't hear any bad feedback, and so here you go.
Well, you know what also is going to be interesting, and folks, again, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. We're speaking with the managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com. It's Justin Katz. When you limit it to just six sites, that certainly cuts down the time commitment for those that are going to be involved with this. And I would not be surprised at all, and I think a lot of people have not experienced this, and maybe some people, you know, could be in for a real eye-opening experience. But I am willing to bet that these hearings are going to feature a lot of the members of LUNA, which is the laborers, and they show up, and they're all of the same colored T-shirts, and they do the gauntlet in the hallway, and they're going to get up, and they're going to take all the seats, and they're going to control it. And if there's somebody that starts to say that they're somewhat against it, or maybe you and I go and we think we're going to talk, and then we're looking around the room, and the way they kind of handle themselves in a lot of these, you know, public hearings, like they've done in East Greenwich or they've done in East Providence several years ago, when you're talking about just six hearings, it's a lot easier to kind of mobilize the forces to have their presence in that way. And I think you're going to see that type of turnout because, make no mistake about it, the ability and opportunity for them to build basically a $150 million stadium, they're not going to let that slip through their fingers.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's interesting how you characterize the meetings. I mean, it's almost something between I could picture they like colored T-shirts and all that at a town council school committee hearing where they're trying to intimidate the body that's making a decision, that kind of thing. But on the other hand, if you remember when there was Roadmap Rhode Island in Rhode Island and the insiders wanted to plan our entire state. And so they had all these public meetings that were genuinely you could come and say whatever you want, but they were very, very cagey and crafty in the way they could get everything you said to sound like you were supportive of what they wanted to do. So it may be somewhere between that where they bring in a whole bunch of supporters. They're not necessarily there to look like a blunt force because, after all, these are somewhat staged events to try to persuade people that this is popular. But that's actually some inside baseball that's going to be interesting to watch as these things unroll.
Yeah, I wanted to finish the thought is you and I, we live in a certain area, and they're saying they have the hearing, and we're saying, you know what, yeah, let's ride over there, and we've never gone to one of these, and we're going to speak up. But when you go to something like that, and then you walk in, and you have to walk through the gauntlet, and it's all the laborers and the union people, and they're all in the matching shirts, and what people need to understand is they form a gauntlet in the hallway, so you have to walk through the middle of them, and maybe the hard hats, because they're going to be building it, and they're raucous, and they're taking all the seats, and you and I are sitting there, and we watch them start to kind of give somebody a hard time who's speaking out against it, you and I may look at each other and say, you know what, on second thought, why don't we shoot out of here? Let's go get, you know, a drink or get some ice cream. Like, I'm not getting up there and going to say something. Now, again, a lot of people very well-intentioned. Some people do it regardless. But to me, they're going to manufacture this as a very well-orchestrated show. And what I want people to also, this cannot be ignored, Justin. This is a big part of the equation. This is not being led by a member of the Senate. This is really not being led by a city council person of Pawtucket. I want people to understand that Dominic Ruggiero is the president of the Senate. He's also, obviously, you know, laborer for life. This is someone, there's no one higher up than him on the chain. If he says we're going to make this happen, there is no way in hell that anyone is going to go against him in a situation like this. It's not going to happen.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, you can trace. It's very educational, and I hope who's intimidated at these meetings at least stays and takes in the spectacle. Because, you know, you get the guy at the top who wants it done. You get the Senate itself spending all this money to move its roadshow around and put up a website, and you get the head of the finance committee saying, well, yeah, we'll listen, but we might not make any difference. And then you get the guys sitting there, you know, with, as you say, probably the hard hats outside.
Big time.
Giving you dirty looks if you look
yes.
like you might oppose it. Yeah, it's all getting it closer, easier and easier and easier to force the other decision makers, which probably exclusively means Nicholas Mattiello, the Speaker of the House at this point, and to get him to have to go along with it. It's a big show. It's a shame. And one interesting thing I came across recently, I had forgotten about, in New York City during the Giuliani years, they had talked about trying to revitalize one area with a stadium, and the financing fell through. And if you go now to that same area of New York where they didn't put the stadium, the market found a use for it. Now it's a thriving area. And
yep.
This is 100% laborers wanting work and the Paw Sox wanting a better deal. And it's really, people should be a little bit more skeptical. The governor's out there saying we've looked at the numbers and the team's putting up almost all of the money and so forth and so on. But the question that doesn't get asked is what happens if it falls through?
Yeah.
I mean, is the state going to go, oops, you know, it was only a few $23 million, so oops, we're just going to have to abandon this project. No, we come in and we save the day with taxpayer dollars. It's all about the risk in that regard.
You know, I remember, I think I was living in New York at the time, but there was talk at one point where they were going to build a stadium for the Jets to play in, and I think it was even before the new City Field with the Mets, and they wanted to do it on the West Side Highway, and then, you know, obviously that did not happen, and New York real estate just continues to go through the roof. So as you said, they found a different use of it. But I wanted to ask you about, you know, Kathy Gregg has a story in this morning's Providence Journal. Count Governor Gina Raimondo among those, quote, pleased that leaders have committed to an off-session public hearing next month. Taxpayers subsidize the $83 million Paw Sox Stadium, saying, I think it's a good deal for the state, happy they're going to give it a chance. I also find it interesting that Dominic Ruggiero said, I'd rather do it in November and then wait until January. Number one, what do you make of Raimondo with where she's coming out on this? And number two, what do you make of Senate President Dominic Ruggiero saying, let's do it in November, not wait till January?
Well, on the governor's point, she's already got some investment with this with her commerce folks, and she loves to roll out the special deals and show that the state is working, you know, get some cranes in the sky, and then there'll be pictures of that, and she can post them all over the country with her, for her national donors, where she can, you know, Raimondo saves Paw Sox, that kind of headline in U.S. News or something like that, plays well, you know, in Illinois where her real bases of support are.
That's right.
So I'm sure there's a lot of that. And, you know, in a less cynical note, you don't want to be the governor who, you know, quote, lost the Paw Sox. So I'm sure but as we've seen throughout the spring and early summer, she's still, I think she's somewhat tentative about the deal itself, because it is a good bit of debt, and it's not an obvious emotional appeal like giving free college to people. I suspect if Dominic Ruggiero is willing to take the main charge here, she'll continue to support that and point to her commerce secretary. Somebody, I think it might have been in the Providence Journal or maybe elsewhere, somebody was asking about, well, what about outside assessments of the wisdom of this deal?
Yeah.
And both in the Senate and Raimondo said, oh, I've got RI Commerce. And, you know, we didn't really think we need any outside experts to look at this. So, I'm sure she's working her angles. There are probably some people she knows already lining up to figure out how they can get some of the bonds that go out for this thing. And in that regard, I think she's probably just going to play that role.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. No, I was going to say, I think, Justin, that with Raimondo and also Ruggiero, to me, you know, especially Ruggiero, he's not oblivious to the fact that a year from November, his members are going to be up for reelection. The sooner, if you're going to kind of screw the public, which it sounds like they're going to, the sooner you get the process started, the more distance you can put from when the vote is. Maybe they think people would then calm down over the holidays. And then at least when they'll have some structure going and something to point to say we're making progress, as opposed to it still being kind of fresh in everyone's mind. You know, they notice that you definitely want to do a vote like this in an off-year peak, as opposed to, you know, who knows what could happen in January, and then it's months before the election. So I think it's calculated. And I also think, you know, if Governor Raimondo truly wanted to be objective about this, from day one, she wouldn't be taking money from the owners. And I'm not saying it's $100,000, but She has taken, I think it was close to $25,000, $30,000 in donations from the owners. She had that meeting with Larry Lucchino and Paul Salem, who runs Providence Equity. He obviously could, he's behind this. He could certainly open up some bank accounts. If she wanted to be objective, and again, in Rhode Island, it almost seems what I'm about to say is unfathomable, but she could have said, I don't want anyone to think there's a conflict of interest, so thank you, but I'm going to politely decline your political donation. She over the next several years, will continue to take in donations from many of these owners.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, we're almost to the point at Rhode Island when if she's asked that question, she can say, well then what's the point? You know, what's the point of being governor and having campaign donations come in and giving special deals? That's
right.
The whole point.
Yeah.
We're almost to that point of honesty. And as you point out, as far as the – certainly much better to get it over with sooner, farther out from the election. But also in the fall, people aren't really in that mode. And once you hit January, it's going to become a lot more expensive in a legislative sense.
Yes.
For Ruggiero and anybody who supports this, because then your other legislators will start to say, hey, I want this bill over here. Cash me in, you know, with so I get my bill and you get your vote on the stadium.
That's a good point.
Yeah, if you wait until January, that process might take till June, and then you're very close to the election. And so it's always better to try to slip these things through quickly when everybody thinks you're just there to have a couple show hearings and nothing else is really on the table. Because at that point, anybody who's going to want to trade for other legislative favors would have to actually stop it from going forward and move it to the regular session, which is possible. But it'd be nice to see an attempt to do that among the other legislators if there are any more that are more responsible. But yeah, it probably wouldn't happen. Because then, you know, once you're into 2018, people are starting to say, well, hey, why don't you just put it on the ballot? It's only November.
That's right. That's a very good point. You know, it's interesting, Justin. Again, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We're speaking with Justin Katz, managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com. It's interesting to me, Justin, that, you know, let's go through the list between, in many ways, the General Assembly got off the hook, but Dan Doyle was certainly not monitored. There was a lot of money that certainly went down the drain, and that was, you know, grants that the state used to give him. And Patrick Lynch, Attorney General's office, he was in there marching at the parades at URI, carrying the torch and all this other stuff and singing Kumbaya with Dan Doyle as Doyle was donating $100,000 to his alma mater, Bates or whatever it was. You have that. You have, obviously, Kurt Schilling, 38 Studios. And we have seen a nonstop parade between Speaker Fox, you know, just got out of the can. He's in the halfway house. Gallison gone to the can. We're waiting to see what's going to happen with this whole situation with Frank Montanaro. But what is really appalling to me is there's no public confidence that this deal is being done because it's the right thing, that people want it. This, to me, is the ultimate of everybody's got an angle, and they're going to shove this through, and the public doesn't want it. And it's just another example, whether it's the tolls or now it's this thing. Ultimately, as much as they say they want to listen to the people, they have no interest in listening to what the common voter thinks or what they want.
Oh, yeah. And at this point, you don't even have to scratch the surface. Recently, with campaign finance reports being due, people, I think the Providence Journal political scene ran an article naming some of the bigger Raimondo donors. A good portion of them live in New York City. Of course, the article said, oh, the biggest group, 40%, were from Rhode Island for Raimondo donors. Well, you know, shouldn't that be, you know, 80-90%?
Yes.
He is the governor of the state. But they mentioned, actually, I think it's the Blackstone group. Had a couple of her big donors, and this is an organization that for about a year or two owned Wexford, which is the big crony deal going on the I-195 land.
Yep.
And so these deals, these sorts of whether it's on the right side of the law or the wrong side of the law, it all starts to blend together, which is just people cashing in on their ability to make us go into debt.
Well, it's also another part about that before we take a quick break, and that was the piece that was in it was political scene. Kathy Gregg's been all over that with the campaign finance. But Justin, notice, you know, where her donors come from, obviously Rhode Island, obviously Boston. She's got connections up there with Point Judith Capital. Yes, New York. She also has that PR firm that handles our tourism account. But they also really, in many ways, do full-time PR for her in New York City, getting, you know, all these stories published about her, and then they leak going out to that. She's been getting money out of Silicon Valley. She went to that conference where the people from Deloitte were, even though they had just screwed us on the whole computer thing. But what I found very interesting was prior to this year, there was no money coming into the Raimondo campaign from Illinois. And then, you know, you go back, there was that no-bid contract that the state police awarded initially out of the Google money to do an emergency diversity study of the Rhode Island State Police. Then the Fed stepped in and said, you can't use the Google money for that. And it was a lot of money. It was over $200,000. So then the Raimondo and the state police said, well, we still need to do this emergency bid on diversity. It went to someone politically connected in Illinois, and just as luck would have it, suddenly just this year alone, in the past couple of months, Governor Raimondo has gotten close to $90,000 in campaign donations from people in Illinois.
Yeah. Well, I would also caution, though, that the group that bought Wexford from Blackstone is in Illinois, so there are some overlaps there.
Okay.
That would be fascinating, you know, for some enterprising journalist to dig through and actually trace these threads where they go. But there's a lot going on in Illinois that's
sure
relatively
is.
Recent for the governor.
All right, we're going to ask Justin to hold on, folks, just for a moment. Again, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about Governor Charlie Baker, the governor of Massachusetts, was in town on Monday night. That was very interesting. Also, the latest on Mayor Alorza and more on this Pawsox Stadium. We're going to talk with Justin Katz, but I want to remind you, folks, everyone is raving about Sam's Inn. Sam's Inn, and with good reason. Sam Curry has done it again, 2227 West Shore Road in Warwick. You can call them at 737-6073. Sam's Inn with a daily lunch special of just $6.95. And remember, free salad bar with any entree at Sam's Inn. You can check out their website, samsinnri.com. You can order online. You can do takeout. When you enter Sam's Inn, to the left, you have the lounge, where a lot of times they have live entertainment. I can hear the people singing along with the performer. Then to the right, you have the dining room, delicious menu, and they even have a private party room. Sam's Inn. Try the fried bay scallops or the clams casino or the big stuffed quahogs. Try the Sam Burger, which is a big-time seller, or also the classic burger. Jacqueline Claire loves the ravioli with meatballs. And they have delicious linguine with clam sauce, red or white. I highly recommend. I'll tell you, the broiled sea scallops will melt in your mouth, plus lobster roll, club sandwiches. It's all happening at Sam's Inn. Stop it and see them. 2227 West Shore Road in Warwick, not that far from Bishop Hendricken. Sam's Inn. Remember, daily lunch special, just $6.95. Everything, every meal, cooked to order, and it's farm to table as well. For a great meal, daily lunch special, $6.95, free salad bar with every entree. You're going to love it at Sam's Inn. Sam Curry has done it again, West Shore Road in Warwick.
He tells it like it is. He's John DePietro on 1540 WADK.
All right, and we're back on this Wednesday. Good afternoon, folks. We'll speak with the managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. It's our friend Justin Katz. So, Justin, we kind of get a sense of where everybody kind of comes out on this. And I'm just curious, you know, there's various things in the pipeline. Senate, as far as the final thing on the Pawsox Stadium, that it's unfortunate, but it certainly does seem like a done deal. And it doesn't matter what's going to happen with these six public hearings. Whether the public wants it or not, they're going to get their stadium, and the taxpayers are going to be on the hook for it. But so we know Ruggiero, obviously, the laborers are going to have a beautiful stadium to build. And when you have a public labor agreement, Channel 12 has done stories on this, the increased cost goes up 25-30%. So they're going to certainly make a fortune off of this, plus the infrastructure work off of the highway, everything else. I mean, this is a total home run for organized labor. The governor, she gets to say, I saved the Pawsox. And then she also has been getting donations from some of the owners. But what is your take on, let's get to the other one. What's in this for House Speaker Nick Mattiello? What does he get out of the deal?
That I'm not so sure. There could be a lingering, you know, in that the handshake and hug episode with the Senate president, that might have been one of the issues they were discussing. I don't know. He seemed still kind of hesitant, saying things such as, well, I'll wait to see when there's a proposal before me. It's a little premature to be discussing that, which to me translated means I haven't gotten assurances on my deal yet. So I'm sure there's something, but I haven't been able to figure out what it is.
But, I mean, and again, both of us have covered this for a long time. There's no way I'm not buying he's a baseball fan or it'd be good for the state, whether people like it or not. I don't know what the deal is, but this game that they play up there is the ultimate what's in this for me. And there's got to be something in there for him. I don't know what it is. It may not show itself for a while, but for them to go along with it, like I said, we know what's in it for the Senate president. We know what's in it, motives for the governor. That to me remains the unknown question. What exactly is Speaker Nick Mattiello going to get out of this? Now, I think that's going to take some digging into, whether it be the bonds or some of the legal work done. You know, anytime you're going to have something like this built or moved or a special on-ramp from I-95, you have to have legal work done. You have to have studies done. There's a lot of legal money to be made in doing these types of things. So, but can we at least both agree there's something in the works? There's no way that he's like, oh, okay, let's have a vote, and that there's no there's nothing coming back his way.
Oh yeah, I remember when I think it was WPRI had the story about the guy they filmed, you know, reading romance novels in his car and while they were supposed to be working, and he said, I was parked on the job, and I think you went on the air and said that's got to be a technical term, something in his contract says he can park on a job.
That's right,
and it's almost like that with Mattiello. With it's a little premature to be discussing that now. That it's sort of like the same thing. I'm parked on the job. There's some secret deal I can't talk about that's still in the wings that we're not ready to discuss yet.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's got to be something. Rhode Island just doesn't work that way.
No. This is like when you get out of Washington, some congressman in wherever, pick a state, announces he's suddenly resigning for personal reasons, spend more time with the family back in Iowa, and then we find out, you know, he was like seen with someone somewhere or something was coming out, and then they're just trying to get ahead of the whole thing. What do you make of Justin, this story, Mayor Lorza? With this whole business, you know, they have the press conference. Well, it's kind of a media thing with headline, Alorza champions dreamers, he and the mayor of Central Falls. What strikes me is, I'll give him this, he's been consistent about it. But what I find, this whole business of we're going to do everything we can to, you know, keep Providence, whether he wants it or not, a sanctuary city, we're going to keep these people here. But what I find tone deaf is they are having this and talking to the press about it and everything else, as the country and the world is watching the state of Texas, half of Houston, underwater, people swimming for their lives, that mother that drowned handing her infant up to rescuers. I as much as it may be important to him, and that is his issue, I don't hear any other leaders speaking out on his behalf, but just, boy, the optics of it, he just seems tone deaf as to how that seems when you have the backdrop of someone watching their house float away.
Well, yeah, the optics are difficult. Of course, there's the president has announced that he's working on some kind of an action on this issue. So it gets hard to, you know, play into politics around a storm. But it does go back to it for me. The biggest contrast there is, you can tell the mayor of Providence, Jorge Alorza, is passionate about this issue. And he's the elected representative, a chief executive of Providence, of citizens who have elected to represent them and their interests.
Right.
And you see that right down to infrastructure and the sort of help that people are having to provide in Texas. That this is the kind of thing we have government for, not the protection of people who the mayor sympathizes with because his family came here illegally.
Yes.
So that's what I find very striking. He and the mayor of Central Falls, I'm blanking on the name. Diosa.
James Diosa. Yes.
Yeah. He, you know, who was in this meeting supposedly, you know, wiping tears away. You know, your job is to represent all of us, and on a policy matter, I it's hard not to have sympathy for the children in this deferred action for childhood arrivals DACA, because they did come here when they were young. They've never known any other country, so this is their home to them, and so it's easy to sympathize with them. And it'd be a lot easier to to come up with a resolution if politicians like Elorza weren't constantly pushing back on a president or anybody who wants to reform immigration. You know, if it were okay, we're cooperating with the administration on most of their initiatives. We realize that they won the election and this is the will of the American people, so we're cooperating to the extent we can. But this DACA program, that's just a bridge too far. These are just kids who,
right,
who are trying to do a good thing in this country. Then we could all agree and say, okay, yeah, you're right. There's just a handful of them in a special case and we can find a way around it. But that's not what's going on. In fact, you have around the same time period, you have the state police having this huge event to go and comfort illegal aliens that they're not going to face any investigation from the state police.
Right.
So it's not true that we're not just trying to provide security and comfort to people in a really tough situation, in which we all should admit is a tough situation. We're trying to provide it for everybody, and this happens to be the most convenient face, a smiling young adult who's working hard and trying to get through college or something to that effect, that you can put on television as a happy scene in contrast to the horrors coming out of Texas at the moment.
Kathy Gregg tweeted out today an invitation. The Rhode Island Civil Rights Roundtable invites you to a conversation with Pina Norona on the role of the Rhode Island Attorney General. It's happening tomorrow, August 31st, right up on Smith Hill. And the title of it, as I said, The Role of the Rhode Island, our Rhode Island AG. Here's a chance to share your expectations of a Rhode Island Attorney General. Now, Pina Norona was the U.S. Attorney, highly respected. I don't know if you've had any dealings with him. He is, I have tremendous respect for Peter. He ran a great office. He is an admirable guy. I think he, you know, sought office for the right reason. He's one of those people. I think he could be successful in any office he goes to. But this is the first indication where he's kind of been kicking it around. I think we're going to see more of this after Labor Day. But just curious your thought on Norona, the first one kind of out of the box. Let's talk about what the role of the Rhode Island Attorney General should be.
Well, yeah, I've never dealt with Mr. Norona, but I've never heard anybody criticize him for his integrity or anything to that effect. And certainly his work experience is more obviously applicable than, say, Ted Seidel, who's another person who's mainly involved with pensions and an investment, and that's why he wants to be Attorney General in Rhode Island. The Attorney General is a bit broader than that, so it's not quite the fit. So Norona is an obvious credible candidate for this job. What struck me about this particular event for him, I mean, it makes sense that a candidate would, or somebody even thinking about being a candidate, would want to give a talk like this, and would want to give it multiple times over the next year throughout the state. But to this group, the Rhode Island for Community and Justice, it's essentially, you know, social justice group, probably pretty far to the left on those sorts of issues. And it just seems there's just a little, almost like an intangible contrast with his sort of straight-laced law and order kind of reputation, and that his first kind of indication that he's doing more than just thinking about this job is with a group that's pretty far to the left. I mean,
yeah,
you expect that from if Aaron Regenberg were to come out and say that he thinks his couple years at, years at Brown may qualify him to be Attorney General or something like that, he might go in front of a group like this.
Hmm.
But for Peter Norona to do it, it's just a weird start. I mean, I'm not saying this will hurt him in the long run, but it is a curious beginning.
It is also, it's in the afternoon. It's a Thursday before Labor Day weekend. If you are going to do it, this is actually kind of a good time to kind of get it out of the way and be able to check it off and did it and do it. Now, another name that is mentioned for Attorney General that I've heard is Representative Craven out of North Kingstown. The Democrat sources that I talked to, Smith Hill, you know, they've kind of had a dream the past, think about it, 16 years. I mean, they had basically the Pawtucket Mafia. They had Patrick Lynch didn't pursue one public corruption case, and then they had Kilmartin, who spent half of the time down in Florida. Peter Norona, he doesn't have a connection to Smith Hill. He doesn't know anybody up on Smith Hill. He is not a deal type maker. The Democrats that I've talked to, the General Assembly, the people in Smith Hill, those Democrats, they'd be far more of someone like a Rep. Craven, quote, one of their own, that they could always pick up the phone and cash a favor in or something like that, or find out where an investigation is going. Norona, you know, he did his own thing, and he certainly ran a very tight office. He pulled a lot of people who left the Attorney General's office when Kilmartin came in and then went to work for him. I think that could end up being an interesting dynamic where you have the you know, some of the Democrats up on Smith Hill, you know, more of the same. They don't like somebody kind of poking around to what they do up there compared to Peter Noronha. He would, you know, he did the North Providence corruption case. He came up short with the Beccari case, but I didn't think that was his fault so much, just because I attended some of that trial. Beccari had a great attorney out of Boston. He was objecting at everything. I found it wasn't the best day for the prosecutors. The jury was confused. I knew the case inside and out, and even I was kind of confused on exactly what the hell they were talking about. But I think it's interesting when there's someone that he doesn't owe them anything, and that's not the way they like to operate. They liked, you know, Lynch had higher expectations. He had been a lobbyist up there. The brother was the head of the Democrat Party. They liked that Kilmartin had been a rep. You know, Smith Hill, they don't like this guy unknown that's, you know, kind of just does his own thing and has avoided any type, but doesn't call them up and need anything. I wouldn't call him the favorite amongst the Democrat Party for AG.
Well, no, and don't forget, one of the bigger issues with Peter Kilmartin as Attorney General was his political involvement with the 38 Studios
yes.
mess when he was there.
That's right.
And so legislators will pick up those sorts of stains, and then they're susceptible to that call. You know, hey, you know, I remember when we were in that room and we were talking about the PawSox deal, and,
yep.
and you said, yeah, you would look the other way. And, so now you've got this case coming up, and maybe you want to hide these records from the public. You know, that kind of thing can happen, and it's not helpful when a legislator becomes the Attorney General. You know, it's almost the kind of thing you could see a constitutional amendment preventing it, because you're not going to go through the General Assembly without picking up some of those connections, and even beyond just being in people's cell phones,
yes.
direct line to you.
Yeah, right.
You've got a history, not just politically in the state, but making deals with people in a legislative way and compromises, and it should always be an uncomfortable thing. On the Democrat side, if it's a Republican, they're locked out of everything anyway. So
that's right.
It really doesn't matter what they do.
You know, rule number one at Third Island State House, everything's a deal, no deal too small. So if there's anything that's going on, they went in on it. You know, finally, any impressions of Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker came in. He didn't do any press, which I found a little odd, but he did do a fundraiser, and they were up at the Hope Club, and there's a couple pictures, Rhode Island GOP Chairman Brandon Bell, who I happen to like, you know, kind of introducing him, and then there were various pictures posted on social media, some of the gubernatorial hopefuls with Governor Baker. But, boy, I mean, he's the most popular governor in the country. We don't see him in Rhode Island a lot, and I understand because our governor is a Democrat. But any takeaways or anything you found interesting with the visit by Governor Baker on Monday night?
Well, the first thing I've concluded is that if I'm ever taking a picture with him, I'm going to make sure we're next to some stairs and I'm up a few of them,
yeah.
because all of our Rhode Island legislators look so short.
Oh, I know. He is a tall guy. Governor Raimondo said, he's just popular because he's tall. Either that or you want to make sure you're sitting down. But yeah, like that's why he's popular. I noticed Boston Globe has a story today. Facebook's adding 500 more or 650 more jobs in Cambridge. Facebook to open new office in Kendall Square. Now then, next year, plan to hire 500 more employees, bringing the Boston-based staff to 650. You know, in this article about Facebook adding jobs, it has nothing about the height of the governor of Massachusetts. But anyhow, yeah. but other than, no, he does tower over people. You want to sit down when you're sitting, taking a photo with someone like that. But what else?
Well, exactly. But, you know, it's an obvious association for Rhode Island Republicans to want to make. It's a case to our neighbors here, right? We Republicans can do good things, even in a Democrat state. And I think that kind of an association will have some good resonance with voters. And in fact, when Mayor Alan Funnell was in Tiverton last week and stated that he's running for governor, although
that's right.
he wouldn't later confirm it, but
you were there, right? You were there, and he said he's running.
Yeah, and when. So the first things he said was he took inspiration from Governor Baker. So this is an association that Rhode Island Republicans rightly want to promote and point out is that we can't make things happen. Now, the differences in Massachusetts are huge, but as far as that political connection, I think it's very helpful for them to make that and keep making it. It'd be interesting to see how much they're able to make Governor Baker keep associating with them.
Well, it's funny you said that, and we'll leave it on that note, because various people have said whether you are, you know, Bob Flanders or Nardo Lillo running against Sheldon or any of these people that are potentially run for governor, you know, they're going to have to defend the actions of President Trump. I have consistently said if I were a Republican running for office in Rhode Island, I would take my cues from Governor Baker, of which he does his own thing. I'm sure behind the scenes, you know, he's got communication with the White House and with the obviously the Republican Party. He's the most popular governor in the country. But ultimately, that to me, it's kind of like a Governor Baker, Scott Brown. You have to be a New England Republican. It does not, to me, you're not successful if you follow whatever the consultants are telling you from down in Virginia. You have to adapt. He seems very smart that he follows his own Massachusetts playbook. And, yes, he is a Republican. He's a former businessman. And Massachusetts is absolutely humming along right now. And he's the most popular. Think of that. Democrat governor in Massachusetts. And he's got a 70 to 75% approval rating. And but it's because he doesn't follow the old cliches or just follow that. He's a Charlie Baker Republican. If I were running for higher office or governor of Rhode Island, that's the type of Republican I would want to be. Want to spend time with a guy like that. And boy, he just always seems to come down on the right side of the issues. He did try to go out, and he did end up losing with some of the charter school legislation that he wanted. But you know, he took it to the mat. The teachers unions really had to step up their game to defeat that. But Baker was not afraid to put it out for that. Folks, he is the managing editor for MotionStateCurrent.com. It's Justin Katz. Justin, great job. Great to talk to you, and we'll talk to you again.
Yeah, enjoy the holiday, everybody.
All right. That's exactly right. Thank you, Justin. Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We'll take some phone calls. 846-1028. 846-1028. I want to remind you about JKL Engineering. You know, we still have some hot, humid days coming up, and never mind wintertime sets in. Let JKL Engineering design and install a carrier Infinity system for your home or business. These carrier systems, highest rebates of the market, they're quiet, they're energy efficient, and you can save over 50% on your energy bill just by having JKL replace that old clunker. JKL Engineering, they also specialize complete commercial rooftop systems, design, ductwork, installation, and service. JKL Engineering, call them today for a free estimate. Factory authorized carrier, Navient dealer for installation and service, licensed in Rhode Island and Massachusetts. An approved National Grid VPI installer plus financing is available. Call JKL Engineering at 351-7600. 351-7600. They're the best. You know, one thing about Central Air and JKL Engineering, folks, it's something you're going to use, and you're going to use it all year round. It's a great investment in your home, and you're going to be nice and comfortable in your home or business. But JKL is the best. Call them. 351-7600, 351-7600. It's John DePietro. More of your phone calls ahead, 846-1028 on the John DePietro Show.
Business Traveler magazine asked its readers what they dislike the most about hotels, but you don't have to be a road warrior to share their feelings. I'm Rudy Max with today's Travel Minute from Rudy Max's World with the Carries. First up, there are the light switches and other electronic controls in more and more high-end or renovated hotels. Sometimes I've spent 5 minutes trying to figure out which switch controls what lamp or curtain. And I know you agree with me on this one. Everyone hates having to pay for Wi-Fi. For years, expensive hotels have persisted in charging guests to use Wi-Fi, while middle-of-the-road brands almost all offer it as part of the cost of your room. To them, I say, thank you. Here's one I hadn't encountered. A mandatory service fee, also known as a tip, for a buffet. Now, I don't mind tipping the omelet maker a buck or two, but otherwise a buffet really isn't a tipping situation. And biz travelers would like 24/7 access to swimming pools and workout rooms. Okay, exempt pools where there are no lifeguards, but with electronic keys, surely guests can enjoy round-the-clock entree to workout rooms. If you've got any favorite gripes, send them along to me at rudy@rudymaxa.com. Maybe I'll include them in a future commentary. Travel info at rudymaxa.com.
It's where you live, a New England home.
Here we go.
Give it a look, that's all it's on.
That's right.
Garage headquarters, 877-62.
Folks, remember, there has to be a leader, no question about it. And the leader, you want to improve the value of your home? Of course you do. Well, you can do it with Garage Headquarters. Log on at garageheadquarters.com and ask them, how do I select a garage door that matches the architecture of my home? Well, call them today and improve your home with an investment-grade door. And you know what's great and it's fun is they have this DoorView software imaging tool where they say, all right, let's take your house, and now let's look at it with this door on it. Here's what it looks like with this door on it. And then you see what really looks best on your home or business. It's very simple. You can't buy a better door for a better price. And it's backed by the best door price guarantee. Go with the leader, the number one. You know, it's simple, folks. They've been in business longer, better technicians, more warehouses on the road. When's the last time you had your garage door serviced? Call them. Don't waste your time with those big box stores. They're overpriced. They use subcontractors. Go with the number one, Team Grace, since 1973. What an incredible operation they have. They're the best. Call right now, 877-62-GARAGE.
Garage headquarters, 877-62-GARAGE.
Making afternoon radio great again. John DePietro on 1540 WADK.
And we're back. Here I am. Good afternoon, folks. It is John DePietro. Yes. Independent man in command. Here I am at the Chosen One. Afternoons 1 to 5. Right-hand side of the dial. Plug it in. Program it on your car radio. Then you can find it at AM 1540 and it's WADK. Now, Mayor Alorza, ready to defy federal law regarding illegals, his so-called dreamers. We're going to talk with a member from FAIR, National Group out of Washington, coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. And then, hey, coming up at 4, we're going to play a little Rhode Island Jeopardy. Someone is going to win a fantastic prize. My goodness, I wish I could qualify to play some of these. Brought to you by our friends at Edgewood Gallery. So that's coming up at 4 o'clock. We'll have some fun talking to Ronnie at Edgewood Gallery coming up this afternoon at 4. Well, folks, 846-1028. Now, remember, you can always email me. It's john@depetro.com. john@depetro.com. DePetro.com. Go to the website, depetro.com. You can also see some things buzzing that I have heard about. That there is a little bit of a rift between the Speaker and the Attorney General, Peter Kilmartin, over several different issues. Kilmartin, obviously very tied in, part of the what they call the Pawtucket Mafia, as far as he doesn't like the way that Matty Ellis was kind of treating the people in Pawtucket with the stadium. And then this whole thing, Matty Ellis didn't like the way that Kilmartin was kind of giving his guy Montanaro, still kind of giving him a hard time, not announcing the charges will not be forthcoming, although I would wait for possibly this Friday a news drop where they announce that Frank Montanaro will not be charged. That would be the window if you're going to drop something like that. So we will wait and see on that. I'm not convinced of that. But you wonder just, I mean, talk about the world upside down. Number one, all this unbelievable flooding. The worst flooding ever. Worst natural disaster ever is going on right now, ever, in Houston. But then you see this headline. Maddow ends the month as number one in cable news. I mean, Rachel Maddow. I've tried to watch the show. I can't make it 10 minutes. I can't. Too smug. I am not the intended viewer. It's got to just be for people that just despise President Trump, and they just want someone who's going to bash him at every turn. That's the only thing I can think about. Maddow ends month number one in cable news. Fox never should have got rid of Bill O'Reilly. Meanwhile, how about the story 4 weeks before the debut of Megyn Kelly Today? NBC insiders are expressing doubts, even worries, about their plan to scrap a reliable, long-running program in order to morph the former Fox News anchor into this female-friendly personality. So, of course, you know, officially, NBO was so excited about Megyn Kelly, and they're going to have a live audience and special built studio at 30 Rock. But behind the scenes, I mean, she bombed with that Sunday night show. She thrived as a primetime star on the right-leaning cable channel with a male-skewing viewership. The late Fox News founder Roger Ailes once joked, a TV network for people 55 to dead. A lot of people watching the magazine show trying to get a sense of her appeal to the daytime demographic and how she'd be outside the Fox environment. But it's extremely challenging, and she is not liked at all. So they've tried to have her as a regular on the Today Show, but that has not gone well at all. They've sent her around to all the affiliates, but it is her Sunday night show absolutely bombed. And especially, you know, she had that episode with Alex Jones that they were saying was going to be big, and instead it turned into kind of a nightmare for them and did not do well in any way. I mentioned headline in the Boston Globe, Facebook opened new office in Kendall Square, adding hundreds of jobs. Facebook has a status update. The social network will open a new office in Cambridge next year, plan to hire more than 500 employees, bringing the Boston-based staff to 650. Think about that. Mark Zuckerberg launched it at Harvard before he went to the West Coast. At its first Boston office 4 years ago. Now they're going to add. They're going to have 650 Facebook employees in Cambridge. Governor Raimondi, how many Facebook employees are coming to Rhode Island? Oh, that's right, none. No, there are none coming to Rhode Island. She hasn't delivered on any job promises. The job promises she talks about are not true, but there have been no new jobs. That's the real truth with Governor Raimondi. Hey, folks, I want to remind you, PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center, Rhode Island's number one garden center, they're open, located Quaker Lane in North Kingstown. Stop in and see them. It's Steve, it's Debbie, it's Junior, it's Byron. It's PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center, Rhode Island's number one garden center. They're located on Quaker Lane in North Kingstown. They're right next door to Allie's Tack Shop. They're open until 5 o'clock tonight. They're open 7 days a week. And what an incredible selection on flowers, trees, shrubs, a full garden center, all locally grown. Remember, buy local, and they still have. What a tremendous selection. You'll see their beautiful outdoor display, but hydrangeas, all colors, whatever it is you're looking for, they have it at PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center. I've been bragging about when you stop in there, you'll see the hibiscus bush and also beautiful selection, the Rose of Sharon bushes as well, all different colors, pink, blue, purple, and white. PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center. Stop in and see them. It's Steve, it's Debbie, it's Junior and Byron. They are right down the street from Tarbox. They are right next door to Allie's Tack Shop, and they also happen to be diagonally across. There they are, right across from Allie's Donuts, Rhode Island's number one garden center, everything you need. PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center. Well, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Now, we do have news, and it doesn't sound good, out of the Texas area.
Near the tiny town of Gaydon in South Louisiana, a 30-yard section of a levee has given way under the stress of Harvey's rains, endangering about 30 homes. Governor John Bel Edwards.
The Louisiana National Guard is currently working to verify exactly what the situation is and to make a temporary repair.
Last year, the same section of the same levee was breached during a flood. Wrangling over who should pay for it has slowed the repairs. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Lafayette Parish, Louisiana.
I mean, they absolutely cannot catch a break. And never mind between the looters and all the other problems, the flooding is just continues to be just so horrible. This is going to take a long time, folks. How about 50 inches of rain? That is incredible. Even the NFL now, an NFL game has been canceled.
The important
apparently.
Thing to note right now is that the preseason game Thursday night between the Cowboys and Texans, which had been switched from Houston to Dallas, is now going to be canceled.
Yeah, I mean, they have to. I mean, there's just too many other things going on. All right, next hour, we're going to talk about more of your phone calls, 846-1028. Plus, Mayor Elorza says Rhode Island will still defend the Dreamers. Is it going to happen? It's John DePietro. Stay